Prime Minister Jaja Oku Olivamaki sat at the head of the conference table in his oak-paneled study in the executive mansion. The chandeliered ceiling gleamed brightly overhead. He looked from face to face at the ministers who made up his independence cabinet. Except for Maria Efwa Olivamaki, he was the youngest of them, which is one of the reasons he wore a beard. He was 39 and she was 29. A few years ago, when he first began to cultivate his beard, they used to jest with him about it, but now it was his trademark. Short-cropped it was, and much, much neater than Fidel's ever was, or ever even hoped to be. All day long, they had been discussing the great trip to America. Jefferson Lloyd, the vice PM, was holding forth with his falsetto and staccato voice. He went on and on and on, a compulsive talker, the fastest gabber in Guanaya. The words gushed out so swiftly from his thin lips sometimes, they stumbled over one another, but usually they bounded gaily out of his mouth or cascaded like the rapids of Niagara. He was the original babbling brook of Bamakanugu. Though he was almost humorless and pompous and devoid of comedic bent, he was known throughout his country for the faux pas he had committed 2 years earlier at a Commonwealth Conference banquet held in London, attended by all of Her Majesty's colonial leadership. In a wave of euphoria and under alcoholic influence, he had risen from his table and said clearly, precisely, pompously, and prissily,
"In the name of the people of Guanaya, we wish to thank our gracious Queen for her hospitality at this great Commonwealth banquet and conference from the bottom of our hearts and also from our wives' bottoms."
There had been a suddenly deafening silence in the brightly chandeliered ballroom. Then some uncouth one from another member country of the Commonwealth perversely giggled, and the place broke up with laughter. The story traveled back home to Guanaya and followed him wherever he went. He became known affectionately as his wife's bottom.
"America is the home of the free and the land of the brave, and we have nothing at all to worry about and nothing to fear but fear itself. And they welcome us into the world of free men and independent nations." And
his wife's bottom, or HWB, was seated at the PM's right hand, and the PM stared at him and nibbled at his beard with his long and slender fingers. His wife's bottom went on and on like he was reciting something he had memorized or was reading from an idiot sheet.
"It is the land of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln, and where their pilgrims died, and also of their father's pride."
He paused a hundredth of a second to catch his breath and clear his throat.
"And furthermore, it's the richest country in the world, and Americans are known everywhere for their generosity, which is proverbial and universal. If we are able to forge a friendship with them, we wouldn't need another friend in all the world."
He cleared his scratchy throat again.
"Financially, I mean, of course."
He owned the most nervous throat in all Guanaya.
"They would put money and technicians at our disposal with no strings attached, out of the bountifulness of their hearts and also out of their love for freedom and fair play, which is hysterical. I mean, of course, historical. And the only thing we would have to assure them is that we're not communistically inclined. And you can't blame them for that, you know, what with the new Cold War and the untimely demise of détente."
Mamadou Tangi, Minister of Foreign Affairs, quickly, sharply interjected. Actually, it was more of a swift thrust than an interjection, albeit he spoke much more slowly.
"Those are precisely the tactics we must not pursue. First sign that there's no danger of us drifting toward communism, and we wouldn't get a tuppence from them. Keep them guessing is the proper tactic.